You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. If you would like to see information on our guest today, Greg Shoey from United Country Commercial, visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com and look for Greg Shoey. I want to welcome back to the air, Greg Shoey and Tammy Haldeman. Yeah. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So we're learning a lot about commercial real estate. And Greg, I want to go into one of your specialties, and that is 1031 exchanges, also known as like-kind exchanges. So explain, let's start on a pretty basic level, what is a 1031 tax-deferred exchange?
Okay, sure. So basically, the 30-second infomercial is this. Basically, a 1031 tax-deferred exchange is an IRS-approved program for people that invest in real property to defer capital gain taxes on real estate when they buy and sell property.
Okay, so when they buy and sell, but especially when they sell, because
that's when you're getting
hit with a capital gain.
Yes.
Right. And is that residential and commercial or just commercial?
It can be both.
It can be both.
Yes.
Okay.
It really can.
All right. So whenever they do that, let's just walk through that process. So you're getting ready to sell a property, and let's say you've owned it for 10 years and it's appreciated nicely in value. It's gone from, say, $500,000. Now it's worth $800,000. So you have $300,000 in potential capital gain you'd have to pay tax on. So now with this $800,000, and let's say you owed $500 on it still, and you have $300,000 that you can roll into the next deal. So you either don't roll into the next deal and pay tax on that gain, or you roll those winnings into the next deal. And what? Explain that whole process. Is there a time frame on how long you have, you know, once that property sells to buy the next one?
There is. There's actually two very important numbers. There's what they call the 45-day identification period. And there's also the 180-day closing period as well. So those are two very important numbers in a 1031 exchange.
So 45-day identification, explain that a little bit.
What
am I identifying?
Sure. So what happens is, and again, 1031 is a process. It really is. It's the same process for everybody. So hypothetically, we close on a property today. So we have, tomorrow is day one.
Mm-hmm.
We have 45 days to identify a replacement property based on what we're selling.
All right.
The other thing that happens is from tomorrow is we have 180 days to close on the property we identify. And one of the things that people, kind of a misnomer, people don't really understand is those days are actually calendar days. So 45 calendar days.
Saturdays, Sundays,
and holidays are included. You know, so for example, if your 45th day is on Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have a property identified, you better not be bringing me a present. You better be out looking for a replacement property.
Right.
Because the last thing we want to do is we don't, you know, pay anything extra to the IRS, because
right.
that's what it's, you know, the program's for.
So if you're selling a property, while that property is under contract, should you be looking for your next property during that time period?
You can. You know, that's one of the things. You know, you have the ability. One of the things that we kind of talk about is, you know, do not close on the other property until you have the property you're selling closed. So, I mean, you can kind of get an idea.
Well,
going
that can
into
be
it,
tricky.
It is. It's very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets very stressful.
Yeah.
Because people think 45 days is a long time, but in
oh
hindsight,
gosh.
It's not. I mean,
no.
it comes and goes real quick.
Right.
Well, and especially if that's 45 days to identify the next property, because once you hit day 46 and you have not identified a property, now what happens?
Day 46, two things have to happen. You either close on the property you identify, or you're paying real estate or your capital gain taxes to the IRS.
Okay. All right, so you better find a property.
Okay,
and the amount of money that somebody can save, I mean, what are the capital gains rates people are running across on a lot of these properties?
The three big ones, there's a federal capital gain tax. It's 15% for the low-wage earners up to 400,000 or so on income, and then it goes to 20%. There's a state tax, depending on where the property is. For example, Missouri is around 6%. There's also a big one. It's called depreciation recapture, and that's actually 25% back to the IRS for what you've depreciated. So those three are the big ones. There's,
ouch.
Yeah, it's a big ouch. It could be a big ouch.
You could avoid all three of those?
You could avoid all three of them. The fourth one that a lot of people, the high-wage earners, come into play is there is a 3.8% Medicare tax for the high wage earners on top of that.
Oh,
so there's the potential to be, I mean, we call it blended. Mm-hmm. You could be blended 35-40% in capital gain
on
taxes.
Your capital gains.
If you're you know, a high wage earner and you know you got a lot of equity. So it could get really expensive really quick.
Man. That's interesting. And knowing that you're not going to close on a property in 45 days, but you just have to identify the property and now you have 180 days because a lot of these commercial deals, there's a lot of due diligence.
There is.
You get this thing tied up under contract and now you have to start doing, you know, you're checking with zoning, you're checking with all these different things to see, is this a property that you really want? And starting to research it and getting your loan in place, because just because somebody's rolling your gain in the next property doesn't mean that you have to pay cash for it.
Correct.
Okay.
But you do need to roll all of the equity, I'm assuming, or how does that work?
That is. There's really what I encourage clients to realize is that there's basically two things to do in order to qualify for what we call full tax deferral, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, the goal is 100% full tax deferral.
Sure.
So the first one is that the investor needs to reinvest all of the exchange net proceeds. So whatever the net proceeds is on the transaction, that's what they need to reinvest with. The second thing that really, and this actually gets a lot of people in trouble, you need to acquire property with equal or greater debt. Because a lot of times what people will tell me is they'll say, well, I want to do a 1031 exchange, but I want to use some of my equity to pay down my debt. Well, if you don't carry the debt forward, you know, the IRS looks at that as what they call mortgage boot.
Got it.
So mortgage boot, a reduction in debt in the eyes of the IRS is a benefit.
Right.
And benefits are taxable.
Right.
So you have to carry equal or greater debt forward. So that sometimes we got to navigate through that and make sure that everybody understands that.
They have their hand out, don't they?
They do.
Well, so what's the end goal here? Because you end up deferring the taxes and you roll from one property into the next property and you maybe able to defer it through your lifetime.
Correct. This program has been very, very successful for those that build basically a wealth legacy in real estate. You know, they start out with one simple, small residential property as an investment. They keep rolling them over. They buy bigger things. Next thing you know, they're owning millions and millions of dollars of real estate. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. You can defer as long as one of the caveats of the tax code is as long as you hold it for primary use in trade business or for an investment. It should qualify for 1031.
So say that one more time.
Trade business or investment.
Okay, so trade business or investment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now if I had a vacant property or vacant land, would I have to purchase that unimproved property or can it be whatever I want?
Great question. You know, when we talk about real property, we really mean there's a very broad range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times people will have the understanding based on their tax or legal advisors that
right.
You know, they need to, if they own land, they need to 1031 into land, mm-hmm. but that's not the case.
Okay.
You know, we see a lot of people that own, you know, unproductive land, non-income producing land. They'll go 1031 exchange it into an office building or a multifamily complex.
Okay.
Generate some additional income, change their lifestyle, do things like that.
So like you said, as long as it's trade business or investment.
Trade business or for an investment, yeah.
All right, cool.
Well, can a primary residence be sold and still utilize a 1031 exchange?
Great question. Primary residence has their own. It's called the 121 exclusion. Most of us are probably familiar with that. If you live in your primary residence two of the last 5 years, you can claim up to $250,000, I think it is, if you're single.
Yeah, for an individual.
And half a million if you're married in gain. So,
which,
you know,
doesn't come up very often.
It doesn't.
For a normal buyer. I mean,
it doesn't
for
anymore.
A married couple, how often are you going to have half a million in gain on your primary residence?
Yeah.
Not very often. All right, so how long can investment property be owned to qualify for the exchange?
You know, that's a great question. That's probably the most common question. And this is what I kind of present in the classes that I teach. You know, I'll ask the question, how long should I own a piece of real estate in order to qualify for 1031 exchange? And I get a myriad of answers. I get anywhere from, you know, 6 months, I get a year and a day, I get 2 years. You know, when you really boil down to it and you look at the tax code,
mm-hmm.
there really is no minimum holding period.
Okay.
You know, what they do is the term that we use is we use the intent to hold for investment. And that's really up to the investor and their financial, their tax advisors to substantiate that intent. You know, so we've seen people exchange for properties they've owned less than a year.
Excellent. Okay. You can buy it and flip the thing pretty quickly.
Well, you got to be careful on the flip side. You know, there's different ways that people are structured, and the IRS looks at people differently. Okay. You know, there's real estate investors and there's real estate dealers. Real estate dealers, those that buy, fix and sell, don't necessarily get the same tax treatment as the buy, fix and holds, the investor right. side of it. Okay. So you got to be real careful.
Okay. Okay.
And a lot of tax advisors that we deal with, they'll set up two LLCs for that client. If you want to go out and buy and flip, you go out and buy and flip under one LLC. If you want to go out and utilize 1031 exchange, a lot of times they'll have separate LLCs and they'll kind of run properties through depending on the goals of the investor.
All right, we're talking with Greg Shoey from United Country Commercial, and mm-hmm. we're talking about 1031 exchanges. So, Greg, are there any other exchange variations that a lot of the savvy investors take advantage of?
Absolutely. Right now, the biggest one is what we call the reverse exchange. You know, the supply and demand factor in the commercial world, there's not a lot of supply out there. There's a lot of demand. So the reverse exchange actually gives the investor the ability to go purchase the replacement property first, and then it gives them 180 days to sell the property that they own and want a 1031 wow. exchange into.
Okay.
We're seeing a very large uptick in reverse exchanges just for that simple fact of people get a call. We'll call and we'll say, hey, this property is available. Hey, I want to go buy it. We'll do a reverse exchange. We'll get it under contract. And then it gives the investor up to 6 months, 180 days to sell the property that they own. But the reverse exchange has been very, 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 very popular.
Hmm.
Excellent. I know there are a couple other ones, and those would be good for people to reach out to you personally if they want to learn more about, because I know you've talked about an improvement exchange and personal property exchanges.
Correct.
And those are things that really get beyond the scope of what the average investor is going to understand unless they get professional advice.
Correct.
And to get that professional advice, really need to reach out. We talked about the dream team earlier. You need the dream team to have Greg on your team if you're looking at buying or selling any type of commercial property, because Greg, you're going to be able to help somebody through it. You understand the tax guidelines. You've been teaching these 1031 classes for 10 years now, haven't
Correct.
You? I mean, I've watched you teach. I mean, you also teach continuing education credits.
Correct.
And who takes some of those continuing education credits you teach on this topic?
A majority of them are the real estate professionals. Like myself, I've also taught classes at the CPA and attorney level. We've also do webinars, online webinars, and things like that. So,
well, it's nice that you're the one teaching the CPAs.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword because I'm not a CPA or an attorney by trade. You know, and a lot of times, you know, I am is a resource.
Right.
You know, all I am is providing the resource. I mean, I won't go toe to toe with an attorney or a CPA, but I will say, you know, here's a court case that may, you know, help you. You know, put a plan in place,
mm-hmm.
you know, for your client to make sure we benefit and maximize
right.
the program.
Awesome. I'm going to make sure that in our blog post at smartwithyourmoney.com, we're not only going to have your contact information, but we're going to have some of the questions we didn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the questions and the answers in that blog post. So visit smartwithyourmoney.com, and in that you can read the blog post on 1031 tax-deferred exchanges. And you also can link to Greg Shoey from United Country Commercial. So, Greg, really appreciate you taking the time to come in. Great, great expertise. I think we're going to have a great response from our listeners on this.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. So just a reminder for you, you don't want to forget, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you don't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week.